Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Remember the good old days where the slope merely slipped? This is Wretched Radio. Dream it, the world will achieve it. Imagine something wacky, and you will read about it tomorrow in your newsfeed. Do you remember the good old days when Christians used to be consternated? That's right, I said consternated. About such horrors as, what did Miley Cyrus wear on the VMA Awards? Do you remember those good old days when we used to get upset about football players kneeling at the national anthem? Those old days seem oh so far away. Why? Because our society's slope has slipped where it is becoming so devolved, so detached from thinking the way that God thinks. You can't even imagine how dopey our culture can be until you simply read your news feed to discover, how did we get here? Well, Romans 1 tells us that minds become increasingly darkened, and God can let those minds just go and go and go, and we are seeing that fruit right now. Here's my challenge for you. Try to think of something so preposterous that it's almost satirical sounding, a description of the world's activities or thinking. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Case in point, headline. Some of these stories, I go, did Snopes say that this is really true? Because the thinking here is... There's a child. She was born a female, identified as a boy. This is in Perth, Western Australia's capital, if you fell asleep in geometry. This young lady thought she was a boy. Mom thought she should be a boy. Father didn't think so. Therefore, mother and father were estranged from one another. This child tragically took her life at the age of 15. Shouldn't surprise us. The child was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, struggling clearly with issues. And this child decided the best solution for me is to take my life. That is a tragedy of the highest order. By the way, Biblical Counseling 3, Drive-By Biblical Counseling, deals with this specific issue. I was just reading a statistic. Over 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a mental health issue. It's a Pew Research study. They identified that liberal women are the demographic most likely to be struggling with a, quote, mental health issue. Would like to remind you, Christianity is very slow to use that moniker. I was a little bit surprised the other day that we posted a video. I thought it would be great news that individuals who are self-injuring themselves don't have mental illness. They're lamenting wrongly. They're responding to something horrific, bad, not what they wanted in their life. And they're lamenting. They're just doing it wrongly. That's not mental illness. And I was a bit surprised that when we posted that, people were rather upset, insisting it's a mental illness. And then, by the way, suggesting, does that mean that there's no such thing as post-traumatic stress disorder? And to that, I would say, no, there isn't. It shouldn't be called a disorder. It's a human response to something horrific, a traumatic event, which should not be inflicted on a human being's psyche. They are simply trying to cope with it. Now, there's a better way to cope with it, but that doesn't mean the person has mental illness. That is a hopeful word from biblical counseling. And as long as we're going on a little bit of a detour, we'll get back onto the freeway in a moment. If you struggle with depression or anxiety or suicidal ideations, and if you are willing to be a bit transparent and to talk about these things, we would like to know you. We're doing a biblical counseling TV show. We want to show the power of biblical counseling by showing a counseling session. Would you be willing to consider being on that TV show? If you are willing, would you please visit our website, wretched.org/casting, wretched.org/casting, because we're casting for our biblical counseling show. It's going to be called Transformed, showing the power of biblical counseling. And so if you're struggling with issues of depression, anxiety, suicidal ideations, please consider it, because you will discover there's much power and help in the Bible, and you'll be showing others likewise as we produce this TV show, wretched.org/casting. We would be muy grateful. 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a mental health issue. Well, mental health issue or just needing biblical help, it demonstrates that our world is hurting. And our world is increasingly finding themselves in a state of utter confusion, and it is being revealed in headlines like this regarding our 15-year-old. Transgender child commits suicide. The feuding parents hold one funeral for the boy and another for the girl. You couldn't have imagined such a scenario 5 years ago. No, I'm thinking you can't imagine such a scenario. Why? Because this is simply fruit of a devolving world, a world that is just. I don't want to put it this way, because it makes it sound like it's being pejorative, but their minds are becoming darkened. They are, if you will, losing their minds, because darkness takes over and thinking becomes more depraved and thinking becomes more nonsensical. This issue between the two parents ended up in family court. An agreement was reached. There would be two funerals for two representations of the same person, substantiated by two separate containers of ashes. That's just... What do we do with this? How do you and I live in a world that is increasingly dark, thinking is becoming utterly broken down, and more behavior is becoming increasingly outrageous? What are we to do? Might I suggest a couple of things? Number one, remember what is going on. The DSM-5 will say, well, they have mental illness when they are being suicidal or they're depressed or they are injuring themselves. The Bible speaks a better word. No, your thinking machine is broken because of the effects of the fall. Join the club. We all suffer from the same malady. There is hope, because God will regenerate you, and then he will increasingly fix your thinking. There is hope for the emotional sufferer in this world. We need to remember, when we need to read stories like this, that these people that are fighting over the ashes of their child, as if somehow the child could determine their own gender, these are people who are simply lost. This is a court system, apparently in Perth, that is simply lost. Supreme Court decisions in the states that make you bonkers, being made by people who are lost. Legislation that gets passed that is absolutely shocking, a little bit scary. These people are absolutely lost. Their thinking is more than stinking. It's totally depraved and lost. And might I suggest one other thing from an article that I was reading the other day? I'm not going to tell you to disengage entirely. That's right. You might want to consider how much media you're consuming. Do not live in some sort of cloister where you never hear about anything, but perhaps disengage some of it. But the best thing you can do, wrote this author, is to simply focus on what's real, tangible, in front of you, turning off the streaming, turning off the Twitter, whose goal it is to worry us to death, and start focusing more on good old-fashioned human interactions. Virtually everything that is going on in our culture these days divides between skin colors, just between human beings. We don't do transactions in person. We do everything online. We put a mask on our face. I don't even get to see your countenance. It's all about dividing, and that is not the way we were created to live. Like the Trinity, we live in relationship, and we are supposed to be focusing on those relationships in the family first, church second. If your days are filled with stuff that gets you agitated, perhaps it's time to just think about, all right, who's running my emotional show here? Am I in control of what I'm consuming, or has it just taken over? And I'm not reading my Bible or praying or fellowshipping, serving in my local church. Maybe, just maybe, a word to the wise who are striving to have the mind of Christ. We need to do more filling of our mind with Christ and perhaps less with social media. Perhaps. This is Wretched Radio. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. You say, Friel, usually the phone number goes at the end of a commercial. I'm putting it at the beginning because I would like to strongly encourage you to call 844-34-BIBLE. A very nice person, representative at MediShare, will answer your call and share with you what might be an alternative to your traditional health insurance that's driving you bonkers right now. The average family saves, give or take, $500 per month. Right now, waiving the initiation fee, an additional $170. Within 2 minutes, they will tell you what you will be saving every month by signing up with MediShare, Affordable Biblical Health Sharing. 844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE.
We all know we have nothing to do with our own salvation, right? Saving people is God's job. As for us, though, we still have the ability to save. How so, you ask? Well, later this year, the Wretched Warehouse will be moving, and you can do a little saving as a result. You can save money, lots of money, on our gospel booklets, You Might Be a Rotten Fish, The Man Who Split Time, 13 Reasons Not to Commit Suicide, and Don't Stub Your Toe. You can also help to save others, like us. You can help save our backs from moving all these resources, and you can also help save us from breaking nails or even breaking a sweat. And by us, I mean time. But you get my point. Our move later this year means big savings for you on all of our gospel booklets. And you can hand these out anywhere to help start gospel-centered conversations with just about anyone. Check out the sale right now at the Wretched Store, wretched.org. That's wretched.org. Save us and yourself right now at wretched.org.
59 million people died last year from diseases like heart disease, cancer, diabetes. But the number one leading cause of death, its very own category of 42.6 million lives that ended, abortion. It is hands down the number one leading cause of death on the globe. And that statistic can overwhelm us and cause us to give up. But it should motivate us to get engaged, get involved, and fight for one life at a time. And we can do that through preborn.org/wretched. $28 buys an ultrasound. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. That is a good investment that saves lives. Would you please consider supporting as many ultrasounds as you can at preborn.org/wretched.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Correlation, causation, connection. You be the judge. This is Wretched Radio. Pew Research reveals that the people group that is most likely to struggle with emotional issues are liberal white women under the age of 30. If that is true, and for the sake of this conversation, we will assume that it is. The question is why? Why might these people be struggling more than the rest of us strugglers? Because we are, aren't we? We're all strugglers. All of us, we increasingly should have our act together as we increasingly recognize we don't. These people tend to be struggling the most. Now, this particular survey and summary of the Pew study from evmagazine.com suggests that maybe, just maybe, liberal worldviews contribute to bad emotional responses. I got to tell you, I don't need Pew to tell me that. That's a fact. Jacked. See, that doesn't really work, does it? That's like one of those I rhymes. That's a fact. Jack, that's how that should be said. My fellow grammar Nazis, heads are about to explode. The Bible tells us that every single human being on the planet has a broken noodle. Our brains do not process the way that they should. They don't feel rightly, think rightly, behave rightly because of the fall. And God then tells us the only way for that to be truly righted is if an individual doesn't fix their thinking first and then get saved. No, they get saved and then God fixes their thinking. That is an ordo, by the way, that not only do a lot of atheists mock, but so do a bunch of Christians. They believe that people can be reasoned into the kingdom, that they can be logicked into eternity. No, they can't. Read 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3, and you tell me if Paul would agree that we can use human logic, worldly philosophies, dare I even say apologetics, to persuade somebody to be a Christian. It is absolutely flipped upside down in God's economy. God, in 1 Corinthians 1, 2, and 3, specifically chapter 2, really dives into God has chosen the foolish things of this world. He has chosen the foolishness of preaching that his son, the second person of the Trinitarian Godhead, suffered and died for sinners. And that sounds bonkers to the world. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says that that's what saves. It's foolishness to the world. But that was my message. I preach nothing but Christ and him crucified. Relentlessly reasoning from the scriptures to demonstrate the Messiah had to suffer, die, rise from the grave in 3 days. That was Paul's message, because that is the message that saves. Reason and logic does not save. God saves. Then he helps us to reason and logic. In fact, hold on. This is worth the tour. In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul actually does a compare and contrast. He talks about the natural man and the spiritual man. And he says that the natural man cannot understand spiritual things, cannot do it. But he says in 1 Corinthians 2, which I'm scrambling to find, we have the mind of Christ. Oh, that's interesting. So spiritual people can understand spiritual things. Our brains can start to think in alignment with the way that God thinks, but only when we become spiritual, not before. And this drives home the point that we need to be preaching the gospel if we want people saved. Then God will fix their thinking. A lot of atheists go, oh, sure, so you just want me to believe it so that I can agree with it. If you want to put it that way, it's just the way that God does it. That's all. And far too many Christians fall into the same trap because we think that we need to know everything about apologetics, every single response to every single argument. It's good to do that, and we spend time on this program doing that. But that's not what gets somebody saved. What gets somebody saved is God regenerating the person and granting them eyes to see. We speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for they had not known. If they had known this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. God was in their midst. They crucified him. Why? Because they were blind, their hearts were hard, and they hated the light. They can't receive the light until they're regenerated by God. Then he helps our logic and our reason machines. Without that, it ain't going to happen. And we, therefore, take a look at something like 50% of liberal white women under the age of 30 have a, quote, mental health issue, terminology Christians shouldn't be nuts about. We should be the leaders in defining the terms. And if you're struggling emotionally, it doesn't mean you're nuts. It means you're struggling. That's all there is to it. Now, are there some instances where there are people who have what the clinical community would call an organically, biologically clinical form of mental illness? Yes, I think we can say that. There can be people with brain damage. There can be people who've got some chemical issues that are contributing to the emotional malady. The one that always pops to mind for me is postpartum. This is one. These are women, they have a baby and they can go into a serious funk. And they can go to the doctor and discover, oh, this is a biological issue. And that quickly, with some medication, it can be fixed. Why? Because there is a contributing biological factor. The majority of our issues, not all of them, but the majority of our issues that you and I are coping with, I believe for the majority of people, we're not thinking right because we're not in alignment with God's thinking. And therefore, if 1 Corinthians 2 is accurate, and I believe that it is, we should look at the statistic and go, well, that makes sense. Because if you're liberal, as defined by not a belief in God, choosing, if you will, more liberal worldviews, behavior, it is going to lead to struggles. Because we weren't made to be that way. The study, which examined white liberals, moderates, you know, aren't we living in an age, don't you just love it, that we always have to identify somebody's skin color now? This is so cool that we're getting segregated again, isn't it? Just love this current agenda to help us identify people by the color of their skin and not the content of their character. Somebody talked about that once. I can't. Actually, you were thinking Martin Luther King. No, actually, I would say the Bible. We don't judge people on skin color. That would be like me making some sort of a judgment about a person based on their height or the size of their schnoz, whether their nose is big or not. Mine's huge. I'm tall. You're not. Oh, you're not as good as I am. That is what we do regarding skin color and why we are constantly identifying skin color these days. Honestly, wedge. The study, which examined white liberals, moderates, and conservatives, both male and female, found that conservatives were far less likely to be diagnosed with mental health issues, with those who identified as either liberal or even very liberal. What's more, white women suffered the worst of all. White women, black women. It's not the gender. It's not the skin color. It's the belief system. And if you are liberal, increasingly detached from God, you will feel the effects of it. And we are seeing the effects of it. And it is increasingly foolish thinking based on bad worldviews and just here's an example of just more darkened thinking. You've noticed probably that the current people who have the majority of power continue to make terrible decisions that they know will actually have a negative effect, but it doesn't matter. Why? Ideology. So, for instance, was reading that the president wants to raise the capital tax rate. So if you make money in the market or however you do it, you're going to have to, you got to pay your fair share. Well, fair share means fair. That means everybody pays the same. Nevertheless, new definition that of what fair is, but because the belief, the ideology is rich people bad, illicit gains, punish them, make them pay their fair share. Even though that raising those taxes will inevitably hurt more people, doesn't matter. Why? Ideology. Ideology drives decision. Why? Because their brains are broken. And so if you and I are frustrated, perhaps concerned, we have one response. 1 Corinthians 2, preach the word only two times, in season, out of season. That's the solution. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Well, we start today with international news, where it seems police in Scotland have caused confusion in regards to rape suspects. Apparently, there's a policy that allows males suspected of rape to self-identify as female, and those suspects are expected to be recorded as female in police databases. Critics of the policy rightly argue that data recorded like this will likely lead to the development of policies and projects based on false information that has skewed crime statistics. And moving to Ontario, there is not only a stay-at-home order in place for residents, but also a $750 fine could be imposed for anyone violating that order on their first offense. Multiple offenses could cost a person up to $100,000 and a year in jail. Police have the authority to require anyone who is not in a residence to first give the reason they're not home, and then they have to provide their home address. Police also can stop vehicles arbitrarily to inquire why a person is not home. Apparently, the Canadian Quarantine Act, which was passed in 2005, gives police the power to make warrantless arrests and detain anyone they believe has refused to comply. Makes you wonder if habeas corpus has been suspended in Canada. And the CDC has recently released a 2019 report that shows that STDs have reached an all-time high in the U.S. There were 2.5 million cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis, a nearly 30% increase between 2015 and 2019, where the largest increase was found in cases of syphilis among newborns. Overall, you might be shocked to learn that 1 in 5 Americans have STDs. Now, I'm not sure what you think about all this, but could this be fruit from allowing the government to teach our children sex education instead of parents actually doing their parental duty? I might argue with you that we could possibly find a link somewhere. And finally, the National Day of Prayer scheduled for the U.S. Capitol next month has been canceled after a pastor was denied a permit. For the first time in 70 years, the permit for the annual gathering at the U.S. Capitol was denied. The pastor, Patrick Mahoney, was also denied a permit to host a Good Friday service at the Capitol because the area has been restricted. Every president since 1952 has signed a National Day of Prayer proclamation. Is it going to happen this year? We'll find out next week. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Know your church fathers. Basil of Caesarea was Bishop of Caesarea in the 4th century. He was a defender of orthodoxy and wrote several important works, proving the divinity of the Holy Spirit and refuting the Arian heresy. Most importantly, he introduced the Trinitarian formula, describing God as one being and three persons. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If anybody has Blake Shelton's phone number, would you please call him and share the gospel with him? Fast. This is Wretched Radio.
I never worn a halo. Don't suppose I ever will.
Hold it. Okay, let's see what we can learn from the theology of Blake Shelton singing a song about Bible verses. Hey, got to applaud that. I love that. And if he's willing to share his theological stance on the Bible, let's take just a moment to see how the song about the Bible aligns with the Bible itself. Listening to this brand new song from Blake Shelton, I got to tell you, it makes me kind of sad because it's pretty clear Blake has not been sitting under good teaching, has he?
I never worn a halo. Don't suppose I ever will.
Well, actually, if you mean that you'll never be perfect, actually, one day you will. It's the hope of heaven.
As far as saving me goes, it's a battle up a hill.
Oh, yeah, Blake, it is a battle up a hill. It's a mountain. And like Miley Cyrus, or despite what Miley Cyrus sang, you can't climb it. That's why we need to be saved. We don't save ourselves. It seems that Blake Shelton is under the delusion too many are. I got to work this salvation out myself. Not in the process of sanctification, but I need to gain it myself.
I keep climbing, trying, fighting. Got a King James in the dresser, and I take it out sometimes. But Lord knows I ain't measured up to what's inside.
That's good. You're right. You haven't. But it seems that Blake Shelton is perpetuating the myth that if we just try hard enough, we could, and then maybe, just maybe, might not get a halo, but, well, might not go to hell either.
They say that that's okay, that I keep praying for the day that I can open up that good book and heaven don't look like it's out of reach.
This song is just relentless with deficient Christology and soteriology. What I read in the Bible, I can't do that. Oh, you're right, you can't. But don't try then to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And this time I mean it literally with Blake Shelton. You need Christ.
When it feels like those apostles are giving me the gospel and not the third degree, I just wanted to read like Bible verses and not the Bible verses me.
If you have his number, please give him a call and say, Blake, you're half right in all of this. The Bible, it does condemn you. You're right. You don't have a chance, Blake. Money, awards, being on, what is he on, America? The Voice deal. That franchise is still going on.
I think so.
Not going to earn your way to heaven. Not charity. Not if you've got some sort of foundation with your name on it. It will not cut the perfection mustard that is required for you to enter into the sandwich of heaven. Okay, suddenly my theology and my analogies aren't much better, but the point is, this is a sentiment that too many carry, and you and I actually can make this same mistake. When we somehow think and deceive ourselves, even perhaps not knowingly, that I've got to do this to make up for it. I've got to do this in order to compensate for my sins. Now, you might need to make recompense. You might need to go clean up a mess that you spilled. But when we think that our good deeds are going to somehow earn us back into God's favor, then our theology isn't any better than Blake Shelton's.
I woke up in last night's clothes, and it's whiskey on my lips. If God's looking down, I know he's really looking down on this, but I have faith that I can change. I keep praying for the day that I can open up that good book.
And it's not the Bible versus me. It's just Bible verses. How many people are going to listen to this song and buy into the lie? This song, as well-intentioned as it is, it's to share the yoke that apparently Blake Shelton is living under. The burden that he carries about, well, going out and getting drunk. Knowing that God's looking down, but I'll try to get my act together. That's not Christianity. Christianity is your act isn't together. Jesus is. Trust him. Then he'll increasingly give you the joy to desire to not go out and get drunk and wake up with a hangover and whiskey on your breath. Sort of reminds me, did you see the commercial? Speaking of The Voice and American Idol, Carrie Underwood has a line of clothing. She was pitching it on the TV. Boy, for some reason, when these people do buys, you just, on certain networks, you just get it over and over and over again. And it was Carrie Underwood, apparently in the backyard of her house, pretty substantial sort of place she lives in. And she was, I think, selling her workout togs. And she actually said, I've learned as a wife and a mother and as a businesswoman, when I put myself first, everything's better. No, Carrie, wrong. We don't put ourselves first. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't ever take care of yourself and tend to your own well-being. But the Christian life is laying down self, living for others. The first shall be last. The last shall be first. God flipping the line around. No. Not you first. Don't seat yourself at the front of the table. Be like Jesus. The theology of celebrities. Received an email from a woman. In response to the presentation we did, what day is today? Somebody told me, is it April or May? I don't even know what month we're in right now. Is this year just going lickety-split fast? Nevertheless, the other day we were talking about the use of the law, that the law, when used lawfully, is good because it stands with power over the unregenerated sinner. For those who are in Christ, we have a new relationship with the law. We are no longer under its authority. It can no longer condemn. It does serve as a mirror, a curb, and a guide. It helps us to know how to live, but it doesn't have the same power that it once did. It does, however, still have power over the unregenerate sinner who falls short of that law. And that is why Paul said we've got to use that law lawfully, not to tell people, this is how you get right with God. Read the book of Galatians. That'll disavow you of any thinking that you need to believe and do good works in order to get saved. Instead, we believe faith alone, like Abraham. We are saved, then we do them good works. Use the law to bring about the knowledge of sin, the gospel to save. And then you can no longer be under the curse of the law, but you use it to guide your behavior and to illuminate how you are to live. That's the Christian's relationship with the law. Unfortunately, too often, when it comes to parenting, our relationships, perhaps with our families, but it's especially with our kids, we have a tendency to use the law unlawfully, just a barrage of do stuff. Do this, don't do that, act like this, behave like that, and it's law. And we use it unlawfully as if that's the totality of the Christian life. I wonder if that's the type of preaching Blake Shelton heard. This woman wrote, I wasn't homeschooled, but what you're saying about the law is so true. We changed churches when I was in middle school from the Christian church to it's an SBC church. It's what it is. And all we got were rules. You can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this over and over again. We moved to Virginia and the second church we started going to was even worse. You couldn't dance. You couldn't listen to music like that. Not that I did, she said. And so I grew up thinking of just rule after rule after rule. And I do have to say, it really tainted my view of God. I only saw God as a judge. I think Blake has been sitting under this preaching. Sitting in heaven, waiting to send a lightning bolt every time I sinned. I appreciated the book Gospel Primer, still available at wretched.org, because it helped me so much to understand justification. I talked to many women, went to different denominations, and they all remember more than just that it was about what you wear, how long is your hair, type of makeup, etc., than it was about Jesus Christ. So this is more than just a homeschool issue. It is correct. The law still is applicable, but we must understand and use that law rightly, or the next thing you know, you're going to be singing a really sad song like Blake Shelton. This is Wretched Radio. Despite what all of the headlines say, there is some very good news happening around the globe. Jesus is still fulfilling his promise to build his church. Nothing is going to stop it. And right now in Eastern Europe, he is doing just that through the Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout very poor Eastern European countries. And thanks to you, wretched person, more and more clubs are being sponsored, more and more kids are being saved, and more churches are being strengthened. Paul Marty from the Tomorrow Clubs.
Every time we visit a Tomorrow Club and talk to kids and leaders, we are blown away by the gospel's power to change lives. And the Wretched audience has been such a big part of making that possible.
Would you please consider sponsoring your very own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 Little Disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
It's another day and another Wretched Radio. Hey, we are grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, with your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and yes, even your snarks. You can contact us in a couple of different ways. First, you can send us an email at idea@wretched.org, or you can leave us a voicemail, 1-877-282-BEEP. Whichever way you decide to reach out to us, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you. Just like this recent email we received from Jelena, who says, "I love listening to Wretched every day. It has been integral in my sanctification and growing closer in my knowing, understanding, loving, and resting in the Lord." So send us those Wretched stories. Send us those questions, those comments, those conundrums, and even those snarks. Again, idea@wretched.org, or leave us a voicemail at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Brilliant. I have been telling you, the Masters Academy International is brilliant, thoughtful, biblically conceived, equipping ministry, training indigenous pastors to rightly divide the word of truth and shepherd local congregations, 17 countries around the world, but they do it in a way that is absolutely brilliant.
There's a danger in theological education done in abstraction from the local church. You produce eggheads that simply don't know how to walk people through life issues. We need to have theological education tightly interwoven with church life.
That is precisely what the Masters Academy International does. It trains pastors in conjunction with the local church. It is brilliant and so effective, and it bears so much fruit. Please consider supporting TMAI at wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. First and Second Chronicles traces God's unfolding plan from Adam through the Babylonian captivity. When you wonder what God is doing in the world, Chronicles shows us this pattern. He is calling a people to himself, placing them under the rule of his king, and preparing them for worship. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't you just hate it when Paul Washer is right? Again, this is Wretched Radio. Paul Washer, who has dedicated his life to missions, runs contra to, so many people who desire to seek and to save the lost overseas. What is his distinction?
Someone came to my pastor, one of our elders, Anthony Mathenia, and said this: "Do you believe that missions is primarily the work of the local church?" And Pastor Anthony said, "Oh, no, I don't believe that. We don't believe that here, that it's primarily the work of the local church. We believe it's exclusively the work of the local church." Now, that doesn't...
Meaning that local church should have a missions program. But going a step beyond that, defining the goal of those missions is not just to go out into the field and preach the gospel. That's certainly a part of it. But it is with the express purpose of growing a church, building a local church so that it stays when we leave. Why? Because that is Jesus' blueprint for the growth of his kingdom. Not just going out to proclaim the gospel, as if that's like a small thing, but with a focus. Now, this is what we're doing here, and this is the way we're going to do it. And then, therefore, we are going to make sure that if we're going to build a healthy church, we're going to build a strong church. We're not compromising on our message, because that's what can happen in so many missionary endeavors. You've got to change the message in order to accommodate a lot of people. When our focus is we're going to build a local church, that changes the game, and it is successful. Recently received an email. This should just warm your cold conservative heart. Hi, Todd. A few weeks ago, I met a young Egyptian man in a new members class at one of the healthy churches here. He was raised Muslim, now loves Jesus. He was full of new convert zeal and questions, a delight to be around. This is kind of fun. If you're a gospel partner, you should love this. I asked him how he actually heard the gospel first, and he said, Todd Frayel on Wretched Radio. Oh, by the way, this was sent from a nation that is predominantly Islamic, where it is still a crime to proselytize. Nevertheless, there is growth in Eastern nations that are dominated by the religion of peace. How is that happening? An article from Sarah, Zylstra. This is just good news. Every one of the peninsula's seven countries is ranked in Open Doors World Watch list of the 50 hardest places to be a Christian. Christian churches are even outlawed in Saudi Arabia. But there's a nation there, the United Arab Emirates. It's an Islamic country. The government blocks websites that disparage Islam and deports people who preach publicly or try to convert Muslims. The Constitution declares all citizens are Muslim. Islamic laws taught in schools and conversion from Islam is not recognized. And you go, that doesn't sound good. Compared to the other nations surrounding the UAE, that is really actually quite good. Compared to others, it's an oasis of freedom. One example, while UAE bans citizens from converting, foreigners are largely free to choose their own religion. And you say, well, wait a second, that's not like missionary growth going on in the UAE. Yes, it is. Here's a little history about the UAE. 1970, the population was a whopping 235,000. By 1980, it topped 1 million. 2017, 9 million. That's actually faster than Atlanta, which just doesn't stop growing. Of those, less than 12% were Emirati citizens. Why? Because they need workers. That oil, you know, you gotta have laborers to deal with the oil and every end of the pipeline. And so they import people who become citizens, but they're not native to that land. So you've got millions of foreigners who can pick their own religion. That means in the UAE, there is a white harvest field. There are 200 nationalities in a population of nearly 3 million. In a city that sprung up within the last 20 years, English is a second language, makes it a little tricky, but nevertheless, this is a mission field, and it is currently thriving. Friel, what does this have to do with the diatribe on planting local churches? This author writes, and quotes, by the way, somebody who is there. I'm leaving names out. In day-to-day life, it's easy to share the gospel with someone who has never heard it before. international churches are not known to be strong evangelical witnesses because we want to accommodate people from all different places. The way that is commonly done is to lower the common denominator on the teaching and to omit all the sharp edges of theology in order for everyone to get along. This fellow rejected that and instead found himself a local church. It wasn't robustly rich in theology, but he patiently toughed it out inside of the local church in the UAE, became an elder, was allowed to preach, and simply went about the business of preaching the Bible. Now it is a rock-solid church, and if I recall the statistics, it went from a couple hundred souls that kind of came and went to 800 members in a local church in the UAE. And they're not the only ones. This is happening. Why? Because indeed, there are some organizations that recognize the importance of church planting and using the local church as the mission arm. So if we're thinking in alignment with this blueprint, if Jesus gave us the design for how we're supposed to go about growing his kingdom, it is through the local church. Wouldn't that mean that we should be trying to either plant or to rescue a local church internationally so that the church thrives? Paul Washer thinks so.
That we cannot have institutes and seminaries.
He's saying we can have these things, these organizations that help with missions.
But brethren, God did not give us boards and groups, and God gave us churches and elders. And I'm going to give you my two cents, but one of the reasons why this place and its missionaries and its school and everything else is standing firm while everyone else seems to be bathed in confusion is because it's under a local church with elders.
He's talking about Master's Academy, Master's Seminary, who's relentless in their pursuit to make sure that we're growing the church. If you don't know what TMAI is about, it's just so worthy of our consideration for support. Men who are trained at the Master Seminary then go back home to their foreign land, where they do what? They don't paint fences. They don't dig wells. No. They mount the pulpit of a local church and they rightly divide the word of truth. That is the mission strategy of TMAI. You should consider supporting it. Wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor. Now, what does this have to do with the price of tea in Texas on a Tuesday?
I have turned down many, many conferences, mission conferences. Why? Because I know when I get up on that platform with 20 mission experts, they're going to have 20 different ideas of what a missionary is. And I know that they're going to tell a bunch of teenagers that they need to get out of school right now and run to the field. And I know I'm going to have to stand there and go, please don't, please don't, please don't. I was at a very large mission meeting several years ago, and I'll never forget it. They were telling young people, go to the field, go to the field, go to the field. And it was all about passion, passion, passion. I wish people would stop talking about passion for just a minute and start talking about caution.
And what should that caution be? Asking and answering the question, what's the point? Why are we doing this? Now, the part two of what does this have to do with the price of tea in Texas on Tuesday has to do with you and your local church. No doubt you're somehow involved in missions. Is it with the focus of strengthening a local church someplace or planting a local church someplace? If it's not, might I consider you to maybe turn your focus toward the focus that Jesus wants us to have, because his passion is his church, the bride of Christ. This is the institution, the organization that he has designed for us for growth on this planet about the good news of him dying for sinners. Take a look at what you're doing for missions. What's the activity? What are we trying to accomplish? And if it is not the strengthening of the local church, then maybe, just maybe, you've got some adjusting to do. Well, then, that didn't step on anybody's toes. Of course it did. It was Paul Washer, who I think is right again. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.